Support for Talking Art on WVIK comes from the people at Quad City Bank and Trust, helping the local community with their banking and financial needs for more than 20 years. Information is at qcbt.com. Support also comes from the estate of Margaret Skinner, a longtime friend of WVIK and lover of the arts.
This is Carolyn Martin, and I'm talking art today with Jason Platt, a local freelance illustrator, and with Mark Zyla, the Director of Education and Community Engagement for the Quad City Symphony Orchestra. And we're going to talk today about the concept of artistic collaboration and how the synergy that results from a collaborative project enhances the work of all of those involved and how it can create new connections and communities. So welcome, Jason and Mark.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming. In October of 2017, Symphony Fantastique was performed by the Quad City Symphony Orchestra as part of their Postcards from Paris performance. And there was a very unique collaborative project that led up to that performance. Jason, you retold the story behind the symphony by way of an illustrated video production that really modernized it for people. How did this project come about?
Funny story. Mark and I met at the Figgy back in like May of last year or something like that.
At a Pachacacha night.
And that's, explain that. That's an event where people with different ideas and projects come together?
It's a style of presentation that's supposed to keep it short and sweet and to the point. And when they were doing it at the Figgy, it was come and talk about your passion or a project that you've been working on. And you make individual slides, and I think it's 20 slides.
20 seconds?
And 20 seconds.
Is it?
20 slides. I can't remember how many it is. But, and, you know, Jason was doing a presentation about some illustrations that he had been working on, and I found him super hilarious. And but he totally killed. Everybody loved him, and then I had to go on right after him. So but it was a fun time, and we met, and I really liked his stuff, and I actually thought about for a long time. I was like, I want him to draw something for my family, like my family portrait or something, because it's two humans and a bunch of animals. And but then we found this way to work together.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
So that really fulfilled the whole purpose of that event at the Figgy, which was to network and to connect people who wouldn't have known each other and who have different interests and different types of art.
Well, I think that wasn't my purpose to go there that night. It was actually just to meet people and not only present, but to see what other people had to present. And it was a fascinating night. I would do it again if I given the opportunity.
So you illustrated Hector Berlioz's Symphony Fantastique. Describe the story behind that story, just for listeners. Just a brief recap.
It's the story of a young artist who finds himself obsessed with a young actress and has spiraled downward in this obsession. So I guess it was almost like the first Vertigo, the Hitchcock's Vertigo is almost like the first version of that.
So this lovesick young man, this was written in the 1830s, but it is completely pertinent today, in fact, to any era.
Yeah, and one of the first things, like when Mark and I were talking, I had drawn some sketches of the character, and very period piece, like in a tuxedo, and he was going to the theater, and he was like, no, let's have this modernized. And so, which really, when he was talking about his vision, it really just clicked of what it was going to look like. And I can't imagine it any other way.
Right. So the thing that I've always loved about Symphony Fantastique, and the first time I ever played it, I think it was like in seventh grade or something. And
wow.
The bassoon parts in the fifth movement are supposed to signify witch's laughter. And the bassoon part is literally
goes. Oh, yeah.
And it at that age, I laughed and I laughed and I laughed. I thought that was so cool. And then as I learned more and more about the piece as I got older, it was completely groundbreaking at its time. And Hector Berlioz himself is kind of a crazy dude. And so with that, like, he creates this story that's completely wild. And then he orchestrated it in a way that at the time was completely wild. I think he had, we didn't do it this way at the symphony, but I think he originally required 12 harps. And like, he wanted to have 20 basses split apart on the stage. And so anyway, he had this crazy vision and he just went for it. And so for me, it was such a natural thing for us to kind of wrap it into this kind of thing that we've been doing at the symphony, with trying to just speak about what we do in as many ways as possible for as many people as possible. Mm-hmm. And so having the opportunity to work with Jason was like, I mean, we just went crazy for it.
And yeah, we had a few meetings and talked about like what's next, what we're going to do, because we wanted to place, like, make sure that it was placed in the Quad Cities. Mm-hmm. And showcase what the Quad Cities has to offer. And so we had like a few meetings about like, what is this section going to be at? Where is it going to be? And how can we highlight that?
Mm-hmm. So you took Hector Berlioz from 1830 and moved him forward into the present time. He was redrawn with a beanie cap and headphones on.
Yep.
So he looks like a modern era guy. You have him planted in various locations that are obviously Quad City and LeClaire Park and
yes,
the Blackhawk State Historical
yep.
Site. And by modernizing it, it really made the symphony so much more approachable and interesting to a younger crowd.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We had over the course of this season, we've had quite a few groups of like Moline High School brought a group of students to a concert. Rock Island Schools brought a group of students to our Masterworks concert. And so it was something that I was totally not really thinking about that when we were making this. And that's kind of like one of the cool things about collaboration, is that you can kind of just go into it and say, let's make something and see what happens. And that,
yeah.
And it resonated with a few of these teachers. And, you know, as wild as it seems,
oh,
they
cool.
prepared their students to come to the concert by showing them something that, you know, that they watch in other parts of their life as well. Not just about, you know, a concert they're going to see, but YouTube videos. Man, they
yeah.
spend a lot of time going through YouTube videos, and I find myself doing the same.
And you created a video that was then put on YouTube and Facebook. So Jason, let's talk about how you transform these images into a movie. Describe that process.
It's a really long process, actually. I think the original idea for this whole thing was kind of like those info videos where someone's like, you see the artist in front of the dry erase board and they're drawing live. And I think that was kind of like the seed of the idea of this whole thing. And I knew it was going to be painstaking for not only me, but Nick, the videographer, to sit there for hours on end and record this. And I said, well, you know, I can record my computer screen, and because I do all my art digitally. And so I could record my screen as I'm drawing it, and I could like do it like in segments and send you guys the video files. And it worked out, I think, just perfect.
Yeah. And so, we had this like file sharing going on where
yeah.
it was like Jason sends an email, and it was funny because Nick and I were both like, jump on the email and check out what he's got. And it was exciting for all of us, I think.
And Nick is Nick Propes, also from the Quad City Symphony Orchestra.
Yeah.
And so, Jason, when you were drawing this, then Nick took that and sped the whole process up. So what you're seeing when you look at the video is actually you drawing each little part.
Yeah.
But creating it, because it's sped up 9,000 times, I think.
9,000, yeah.
You're seeing the whole thing take place, and you're watching how art is created.
Yeah, and I think if you actually watched it in real time, it would be really, really slow and boring. But with I think Nick just did an excellent job with the way he did speed it up and manipulate the video to highlight some of the music. And there's certain sections in the video, like the witch's laugh.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when, because as I'm drawing in the ha ha ha's in it, it's just mimicking it perfectly. And then like mm-hmm. the spiral, it just, there's times when Nick was just really brilliant with laying down the video along with the music. It's just so cool to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of my favorite parts of it is when the character's in Blackhawk Park and there's the faint sound of thunder in the background.
Oh, yeah.
And so the character's standing on like the edge of a cliff, essentially, and there's thunder and lightning in the background. And Jason writes, I can't remember exactly what the word is,
rumble.
But rumble. And as the timpani rolls, rumble like goes across the screen and like kind of flashes.
It's kind of neat because you can see me changing my mind as an artist as I'm creating this. And in that section, I write down rumble, but I don't like how it looks. So you see me erase it and then it,
but it works well with, perfectly.
Yeah, it was great with the editing of the video.
I don't know how many symphonies actually have a tale or a story behind them. And then beyond that, how many of those stories are illustrated? Do you know, has this type of project been done before? Has Symphony Fantastique been illustrated? Or are you the first ones to do it?
Well, I mean, I suppose that the humility in me has to believe that I'm not the first person to think about trying to do something like this. But, musical tales have been told in visual formats in a lot of different ways, especially throughout time with, so much music that we play in the concert hall is part of theater or part of incidental music for plays and stuff like
right.
that. And so I've been in a lot of performances where we, you know, ballets tell stories and we kind of collaborate with the ballet and all that kind of stuff. But, and then Fantasia, of course, is one
sure.
of the things that comes to mind in terms of, you know, essentially illustrated music videos for classical music. But I think that there is this movement in the orchestral world to kind of try to create interesting projects around the concerts, just to have entry points for conversation, to have a reason to come on radio shows and talk about what we do. And so for us, it's definitely new that the Quad City Symphony can take a project like this and turn it around in a matter of months. And, you know, it's like, I always say, boy, what could we have done if we had thought about this 2 years ago and then took that much time? But it's always really exciting. And the stuff that, you know, I'm just the guy who's kind of like getting people, creative people together. I guess I have an idea and pull in creative people to execute that idea. But Nick and Jason, I mean, were the real stars of this project in the sense of, you know, I couldn't have asked for better visuals from mm-hmm. Jason.
It was so much fun.
And I couldn't have asked for a better presentation from Nick.
That synergy concept, I think, is just lovely. And Jason, the collaboration really allowed you to have a larger audience for your illustrations. And then Mark, this probably expanded your base a bit by inviting a younger age group in and really explaining it to us, the story to us, and making us feel more connected. So that's fabulous.
Well, as an illustrator, first and foremost, I want to make sure that my client is happy with the end product. And it just happened to be one of those projects that I became very passionate about. And like I had mentioned before, it was like we were creating this little French film. Mm-hmm. And I think we were talking about it being in color originally, but I love the black and white that it ended up being, especially mm-hmm. at the end of the final collection of it all, where Nick put the fin at the end in red.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it just really just that pop was like, wow, that's uh-huh. so cool.
I think it somehow it was a little bit of a nod to the past. It seemed so retro, but yet so modern and unique, kind of all at the same time. Color maybe would have detracted a little bit.
I agree.
You also could see you were, as you drew it, you could see each stroke a little bit more clearly. I don't know. I thought it was just fabulous.
Well, actually, it's kind of cool because one of our early meetings, I said I like to sketch out my stuff in pencil first, just so it's like a roadmap as an artist. We like to see where we're going to go because art just doesn't happen, and so we didn't want to have like the pencil line showing. So this is like part of the collaboration as well. That's really cool because I did those in blue line. And then in editing, Nick was able to take the cyan mm-hmm. out of the video. So then all you could see was the ink line that I was putting on top of that.
Yeah. Well, that's just amazing and it is such a great project. And we'll put a link online to the full length video so people can watch that.
Awesome.
Jason, you've worked full-time as a freelance illustrator focusing on cartooning.
Correct.
For 3 years now and part-time for many years.
Yeah.
And you've created a webcomic called Mr. and Me that deals with parenthood.
Yeah. Yeah, that is it's a project of love. It actually came out with it all was a brainstorm because I had this little moleskin art book that I did of my little boy when he was growing up. And I drew him when he was a little baby and recorded his milestones. And then when he got older, I created this little book of poetry for him and did illustrations for him. And then as he got older, I was wondering, what am I going to do now? And then I was working for this publishing company as an illustrator and graphic designer. And one day I was doing this little cartoon for them. And I was like, oh my gosh, I should do a comic with him and me. And so that's where the whole thing just started. And here I am 9 years later still doing it. And my graphic novel that's being published by Little Brown is the same characters. So it's really changed my life, and it's changed my direction. And it actually cartooning was my first love as an artist.
That's awesome. When is your graphic novel coming out?
Next spring.
Mm-hmm. And how fun for your son to be able to look back at some point in time. He'll look back and see years of comics.
Well, it's one of those things where the first like 10 comics were very personal and very, it was ripped straight from our lives. But then as I started sharing them publicly, I was like, maybe like 10% real and 90% mm-hmm. fiction, because I didn't want like the world to like, you know, peek into our actual lives.
Right.
So, and you know, real life isn't as funny as fiction is.
But sometimes it is on occasion. Mark, you seem very focused on getting more people in our community to hear about the musicians and their work in the symphony and to try to see the symphony in a new light. And this project helps with that.
Mm-hmm. And you know, Jason said that his comic kind of changed his and Jason kind of said that Mr. and Me changed his life, and I feel very similarly about the Quad Cities and Quad City Symphony in the sense that it was the first position that I won in my professional career as a principal horn, and I always had this really great synergy with Mark Russell Smith as a person who's like invested in me and invested in kind of cultivating a better musician within the orchestra. And then when I had the opportunity to come and move to the community and work when I got the opportunity to move to the Quad Cities and work as an administrator, I'm just like beaming with such joy about this organization and about the music that we perform and the people who perform that I get to perform with. And so with that, you know, I've always been kind of puzzled by this idea that classical music is stuffy and that the musicians are stuffy. And I suppose that, you know, we can kind of take a little bit of the blame for that by, you know, being in tuxedos all the time and kind of distancing ourselves and kind of presenting it in a way that says you have to know a lot about this to enjoy it. And that's just never been my experience in my life. And you know, my father is a classical musician. And so I've always grown up around all these really colorful people that are just, they're interesting and their personalities are so diverse. And then here in the Quad City Symphony, like we have so many people, you know, people who've invested 50 years of their lives into this orchestra, and then people who are just starting that investment now. And, you know, no matter where life takes me, I hope that I can always come back here and perform. And it's a place where I really want to invest. And having people to work with like Jason and a community that cares about artistic collaboration and the idea that it's our responsibility as artists to put things out in the world that challenge people, but also bring them joy. And so with that, that's kind of all I'm trying to do is just like, I'm a really happy guy. And I just want everybody else to like, to see that, you know, incorporating this into your life in any way that you can,
yeah.
Whether it be watching a video online or coming to the concert hall, you know, 10 times a year. I want you to experience that energy and that joy that surrounds this music and, mm-hmm. and these people.
There's a new series of Facebook videos produced by the Quad City Symphony Orchestra and Nick Propes called Brew Tunes, mm-hmm. where local yeah. brewmasters listen to symphonic music and then pair their craft beer to it, which is just so fun.
Yeah, and that one was such an amazing thing to make with Nick and these brewmasters, because when we talk about community engagement, that's direct engagement. Like, I'm engaging with an individual with music and talking to them about their passion. But then I'm also giving them an ability, or we're giving them the ability, to engage with the community at large. And for me, again, it's always been an experience with classical music where my imagination just runs wild. It's always been a soundtrack to imagination to me.
Wow.
And so with that, these guys are listening to this music, some of it for the first time, and you know, they know what they know really well, and they love their craft so much, and then we can talk about classical music, and then they talk about the music that they enjoy, and it was just such a great interchange. And mm-hmm. and I, you know, some Brock Nelson from Radical Effect afterwards, he's like, you know, who's that again? Oh, it's Hindemith. I like that. And then we talked about chamber music and all the kinds of stuff that he's had experience listening to and likes listening to. And so, I mean, my goal is not to make more subscribers to the symphony or anything like that, but that's going to happen as a result of people just having a good time and seeing that the Quad City Symphony musicians and everybody else really just wants you to come and be who you are and see what we do. And experience it in the way that makes you love it the most.
Yeah, that's great. It definitely helps us to see your organization in a new light. There are many other examples of collaborative artistic efforts in our community. We just spoke with Jeff Cousins from Augustana College and also Dino Hayes with the Center for Living Arts in Rock Island about their Penguin project that they just completed. But undoubtedly, our largest collaborative project will be the Figge's French Modern exhibit, which is running from October of 2018 through January of 2019. And more than 30 local organizations, including the symphony, but also Ballet Quad Cities, the Putnam, and numerous restaurants, are planning French-themed events to coincide with the exhibit.
I mean, I can't wait to see the artwork, but I'm also excited to play. You know, we're going to do our opening concert's going to be French Impressionist related, so that we have, you know, this era of art being represented in both visual and in music. But I mean, it's so great that in the Quad Cities you get to see something like this.
Mm-hmm. We're pretty lucky as a community to have so much around us.
Yeah, I think so too. Jason, you told me earlier that that you really don't have to go out of this community to resource things. You just have to look around, because there is an incredible amount of talent and there's really a lot of beauty and really curious, quirky things that are going on around here.
Well, I mean, how lucky are we to have, you know, the symphony here? People have to drive, you know, hours to go listen to something like this, and we have it in our backyard.
Mm-hmm.
It's so amazing, and it's like you just want people to take advantage of it and come and listen and experience it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Collaboration can help attract and recruit talent and investment to our community as well. Culture definitely makes a community more desirable place to live. Well, Jason Platt and Mark Zyla, thank you so much for coming today. Your recent collaboration on this project reinforces the fact that art can create community, and I can't wait to see what you come up with next.
Thank you so much.
Right? Thank you.
You are welcome. This has been Carolyn Martin, talking art today for WVIK. Our theme music is provided by a Quad City legend, the late Ellis Kell.